Hello and welcome back to Life Unpotted. This is Sophie here. If you are a new listener or if you are a reoccurring listener, just wanted to quickly update you guys. So a few weeks ago, Daisy and I went on a psychedelic mushroom retreat. And I just wanted to take a moment before we get into this conversation to just acknowledge that this was a really intense experience. And by no means are Daisy or I offering any sort of advice or recommendation to the listeners about the usage of psychedelics. It's very important that we say that on here because we are not experts by any means of anything at all. We are just two people who have carved out a lot of time in our lives to explore our inner world and to explore what else is available during this existence of life, and what do we really want to learn about, and how can we deepen our experience? And on that path, on that journey, we have found ourselves going to retreats where we have taken psychedelics. So I just want to take a moment to pause before we start to talk any more about that, because it can be really, really, really scary taking psychedelics. And I just have seen how important it is to be in a safe environment and a safe, trusting setting with people that you can trust, because we're dealing with really, really, really intense stuff here, man. Like, it's no joke, the stuff we talk about on this podcast. It is our real experience healing our inner world, and that's extremely messy. It's scary. At some times, it feels like you have no idea who you are. And I think we're going to go into that a lot on today's episode, but I just want to take a moment to pause to just really make it very clear that we by no means are experts at all. And we are just two humans who are choosing to share with you all our experience because we care. We care about connecting. We care about having a platform where other people can just hear our experiences, because I think that provides a level of connection and a level of truth. But ultimately, always look to yourself, because you are the only one who has the answers. So with that being said, I'm excited to talk. It feels really good to be back podcasting. We took Thursday off because post-retreat, a lot of stuff comes up. Psychedelic mushrooms have the capacity, or in my experience, have expanded my perception of my being. And with that comes opening up a bunch of cans of worms. You know, they always say, don't open up that can of worms, because it's scary. And it leads you to having to sit with and face and question reality with like the most clear point of view, or with the most clarity that I feel like I've had since we moved here to Austin. And we've been going through so much change and so much transitions. And it just feels like for the first time, after being on a 2 to 3 year journey of healing, I feel like I have a sense of, I hate to say clarity because we're always coming in and out of clarity, but I guess I just feel like myself. And I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to chat. I'm excited to let this conversation unfold. So thank you so much for being here. And I always appreciate having the opportunity to express myself on this microphone, because it is a beautiful form of connectivity for myself and for others.
So here we are again, post-retreat. Still post-retreat, it's 3 weeks later, and there's just a lot to be talked about. And I think being here and talking about these topics on the podcast, it's only helpful to me when I'm first processing them in my own life and taking like the personal space to figure them out, because this is some heavy stuff. This is like real life stuff. This is like real life healing. So taking off past last Thursday was so important. And like the anxiety that both of us were like, should we do it? And I'm like, yeah, because it's so important to reevaluate things in life. And I feel like it's so easy to get on one track and just head down and forget why you're even doing it. But the stress and the anxiety of failing just keeps pulling you back in. So you just keep doing things and you don't question things in your life. And I feel like this is what was happening to me. I mean, after moving somewhere 8 months later, leaving your job, trying to create something of your own, still in a somewhat new relationship, having gone through a lot of stuff in the relationship, good time to go to retreat after all that. Because it's so important for us to look at the decisions we're making, to look at the risks that we're taking, and to really look at the lives that we're living. Because we always have the choice to change our life. And I think of when we planned to move to Austin and then we did it. We had an idea that we just had to make a change. So we did it. And a lot of that change was just really difficult. It was one of the most difficult moves of my life. And I've moved a lot. So it's just been really, really, really hard and really stressful. And it's easy for us to undermine how difficult things are at times, like for me, because that might mean like, oh, I'm weak or I'm not strong enough. And there's more power in being aware of truly what impacts you. And I look back at this move post this retreat, post this experience, and I'm realizing life has been really hard because we've chose to make it that way. And I don't have to keep living that way, whatever that means. I don't have to keep living in perpetual stress. I can reevaluate things in my life. And I think, like if we're talking overarching things I've taken away from this experience, one is that we got to find ways to take a break from our life, to fully check out and recoup mentally, to allow ourselves to not worry and think about something like work. I see how easy it is to just never check out ever, to never take a break ever. And like, I think a good example of this, of like, why do you think people get divorced after their kids go to college? Because it's the first time they have change happen in their life that causes them to see the reality of what's really in front of them. And I think we can live our lives on autopilot like this. This is just an example of autopilot. And I feel like since moving here, we are on autopilot. I was on autopilot. And the overarching theme is that like we can spend our whole life on autopilot. And going back to psychedelic mushrooms, the benefit in my experience is that it helps you bring stuff up that you might not otherwise get at. I'm not saying getting brought up is any way easy. It's really hard. It's terrifying. But it also, at the same token, while it's terrifying, it also is what allows you to see the truth. And with truth, you have power to realize you're in control. And you get to make decisions based off of how do you actually want to live. And that's where I feel right now. Like I'm in control. My subconscious conditionings are not in control. I'm aware of them. And for the first time, I feel like relaxed in Austin, truly. There's times, there's moments, but I feel like I've deepened into just being able to actually be here, not just fixated on letting go, seeing the stress. Like I actually don't feel the stress. And you start to see that that's all from the mind. And yes, environments, experiences are all very real. But there comes a time where your environment has became more familiar, but you still are anxious, still using that same conditioning from when you first moved here. So I think one of the things I'm just trying to say is that we got to find ways to disconnect from our life so that we can see where we're going. Because when we get so caught up in things, we feel like we lose control. And they control us. These things control us. But we always have the decision to change our life.
I'm continuously amazed every time we go on a retreat with how many insights I have. Because it feels like on this journey of becoming aware and changing things and healing things, that it's so easy to get caught up back in it. I think right now what I'm working with in my mind is kind of, on one hand, it feels like I can't avoid going through shit. Like there have been really, really difficult things that have happened over the past few years of experiences that I have gone through. And I see how I really try to run away from them because I didn't know how to handle them. I didn't know how to face things head on. And I just see how much I've lived my life so, so anxious. And we were talking about this the other day where I was kind of after the retreat, like trying to ask myself, like, when did I start living life with such anxiety? Because it feels like when anything is your base state in life, when you are so used to waking up every day and everything feels scary and you're feeling worried about work, you're worried about your relationship, you're worried about your health, my health. Like I just got like a pretty bad headache happening as I started talking. And one big thing I've been noticing is how I really have felt like I've had hypochondriac tendencies for as long as I can remember. Like I remember being a teenager and sitting on a bed, I think it was my parents' bed, and it was me and my sister home, and I was like, Sarah, like I feel like I can't breathe. Like, can you call EMS? And I remember her calling, and I look back at those moments. I look back at college when I hit my head against a wall very gently in the dorm room, but I remember I was studying on the computer and my head went back, and this feeling state came over me where I just felt like fuzzy, like everything felt so confusing around me. And I remember fixating on that and needing to go to the hospital. And again, I don't know, that might have been a concussion. Apparently, like anytime you hit your head is a concussion, which I don't even know if I agree with that medical advice I was given. But I look back on how I always assumed the worst with my health was a big one, like always panicking that I think I'm going to die, or my head hurts. Do I have brain cancer? Like, and we were talking about this yesterday, just kind of how like when you look up anything online, oh, I have a headache. Immediately you see like brain, something about the brain or a problem. And I think when we're so exposed to all of the terrible things that happen in the world through the news and through stories we hear, that we don't realize, and I think it's really hard to know the difference of what is truth and when do I have to panic? When is it really life or death? And I guess I'm just really becoming aware of like this tendency where everything feels like it's life or death, even to questioning whether I should skip a podcast episode last week. Like, it was a really hard decision for me. Why? I'm so worried I'm going to let people down. I'm so worried that it's going to mean something about me and it's going to reflect poorly and I'm not going to have an audience anymore, and fear, 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 fear. And look, I think the medical stuff is, I can't opine onto that because I'm not trained in that area, but I just have seen when there's been a lot of times where I have been okay. And turns out I just had a headache. Turns out it's okay if my body's aching a little bit, because like everything, it just passes. And I just see how instead of going moment to moment in life, I'm grabbing and suffocating myself. I'm sabotaging my experience by trying to punish myself, trying to make things worse, thinking I don't deserve to be happy, maybe. Thinking that there's something I have to worry about. Like, it's like as soon as I relax, the thought of, oh, what if something happens to my mom? She lives a few states away from me now. Like, it almost feels like there will never be a perfect time to relax because of the unlimited amount of possibilities of things that can go wrong. So I'm just really becoming aware of that. And I just see how, you know, I've been thinking a lot about death and thinking a lot about existence. And after the retreat, kind of spending a lot of time from mushrooms in this feeling of a void, feeling like facing the truth that I am alone in this experience. But it's like you can only live in that state for so long because life is real. Like my human body is, I can feel it and I can see you and I can connect with you, Daisy, and I can connect with all these people. Like, these experiences are real. And I think that it can be really confusing when we recognize, like, whoa, we're all going to die, and I'm just floating in space, and I'm made up of carbons and atoms, and everything's energy. And when you have such an extreme experience, like a psychedelic experience, to kind of realize, oh, all those things that I once took for granted, I can actually now find comfort in knowing that they are real. And yes, I don't know what will happen tomorrow, but that doesn't mean that I can't trust myself to let go and relax, to know that I will be able to handle it no matter how things unfold. And I can let my guard down and I can feel relaxed and safe. And I think feeling safe has been something I have struggled to feel for a long time while dealing with really, really intense emotions that I've been processing from past experiences. So it feels good to realize all this, that all of those things can be true. Life can be uncertain. Life can be unknown. Life can be painful. But I can still choose to enjoy it. And the only person who gets in the way of that is myself, which is a really hard thing to accept. That why would I try to ruin my own life subconsciously, unknowingly? Doesn't really make any sense.
Well, I've been listening to Gabor Mate a lot recently, and I hope I said his name right. But he's the guy who wrote The Myth of Normal. He's been working for like 60, 70 years. He's 80 years old. So he's been around, he's done a lot of research on trauma, childhood trauma, adult trauma, all of this information. And his, I was listening to a podcast with him recently, and it seems like a lot of his answers always go back to your conditionings. Your conditionings may have told you that you're not safe, even though that defies all logic. And he's trained as a family physician. And that one of the things I really appreciate about his work is that he really sheds light on the reality of how emotions impact our physical health. And like, that's something that is missing in the medical world, is the acknowledgement that emotions cause a lot of disease, a lot of pain. Like, there's no separation between our emotional health and our physical health. They're both one. And he's a doctor that recognizes that. And this is one that I definitely think about quite a lot when it comes to safety and presence of like what's happening in the reality of this moment, like what's actually happening here, and how it seems like most of the time we're operating physically from something that existed in the past, something that happened in the past. And it can feel really conflicting to get our body here to this moment when we haven't processed past experiences that might have us feeling physically anxious. We might not understand why we feel anxious, so we start to then think. We think, we think, we think, we think. And then there is a problem. We've created a problem here. And I'm by no means an expert on this. I guess I'm just talking from like my own personal experience of like the amount of times I think of someone coming over I love to like give me a hug, and how like I want to like hug them back, but like my body feels like stressed or anxious because your body holds so much. Your nervous system is dysregulated. And that's something that I'm still trying to figure out, because it's really hard to feel safe when your body feels really stressed. Even if your stress isn't coming from this moment, it can be really confusing. And this is where processing is so important. And going back to the psychedelic experience that I had, it helps you process things. It helps you remember things. And it's almost like, what does the word process even mean? In my mind, it means to be told that something that is happening to you is not your fault, in that it's going to go away. It's not going to last forever. It's making sense of a stressful situation that has happened to you. It's intervention with something that is painful or stressful or uncomfortable. So it's the point of processing, I think, in my opinion, is to avoid internalization, where a stressful event, instead of it being something that just happened to you, it becomes who you are. That's my understanding of it. I know you just looked up the definition. Did you find anything good?
Didn't really like anything I saw, but it feels like my life has been void of processing, which is interesting because it's like, in a way, I think we're always processing things. Like, our brain is always having input and output. But I see how so often, like, when I'm stressed and when I'm anxious, I'm in a state of resistance. So I'm not physically relaxed enough to let the processing happen. And I see how in my own experiences that my default way of operating was to avoid the processing of hard experiences, because I never knew really, or, you know, it's interesting because after this retreat, I've been having a lot of experiences of really feeling emotions. And when I say really feeling emotions, I mean in the fetal position, hysterically crying, and not feeling like nothing else exists, like nothing else in that moment exists, and feeling feelings that feel like death or the void or emptiness, or it almost feels like a pit of darkness that I don't know who I am in those moments. And I think those experiences have been really, the two experiences I had after the retreat of emotions coming up, and I just let myself kind of sink into them, sink into the experience coming in. Like you think of, like, if you're sitting on a chair, like just trying to sit more, allowing your body to sink into the chair, like feeling your back against the chair and feeling your legs on the chair, kind of this experience of letting go. But I guess my default way of operating feels like my default way of responding to an experience that was really hard was to just avoid it, completely avoid it. Oh, I'm fine. I don't want to talk about it. That didn't really happen. Kind of like what you're saying about moving now and now realizing, oh, that was really, really hard. But the interesting thing of why going in, I couldn't even comprehend that maybe that was going to be hard. So going back to these experiences I've been having of processing really, really intense emotions, it just has really shown me what it means to go through something, like actually go through it. And then a lot of times it's not pretty, it's not fun, it's scary as hell, it feels awful in the moment. And I don't know if there's any way to say that it doesn't feel awful to process pain. Because I think I'm finally understanding that pain is painful. And maybe for some time I really, you know, we do say like we can't have beauty without pain. And while all of that is true, I think it's important to simply acknowledge the truth that difficult experiences in life are difficult. It is not easy to have to heal from experiences that we didn't ask to go through, that being born into this world, we're born into a family and we're dealt certain situations and we go to school and we're around people and we get hurt. And sometimes we get hurt really, really, really bad. And sometimes we're so hurt that we don't know we're hurt. So I think I'm facing and learning what it means to be honest with myself about what has unfolded, the situations that I have gone through in an effort to, you know, I don't even know where, with no goal, because I'm not trying to say that those things didn't happen. I'm not trying to find a life where my life's perfect and I'm free of those experiences. And I'm just Sophie with a perfect life and never gone through any difficulty with anything. Because to me, at this point where I'm at right now, that just feels like a lie. And it just feels like the point I'm at right now is needing to really acknowledge the truth. And I think acknowledging the truth is where we can continue to process and move forward and realize, yes, that was the case, but that's not by any means the entirety of who we are. It's a very, very small portion. But if you don't face it and love it and acknowledge it, it's going to grow. It will grow. So we can decide to honor it in its truth. And when we do that, I think, or really when we don't do that, we just have this thing inside of us that's begging for attention that manifests in hypochondria, fear of getting hurt, your relationship isn't good enough, I would never be able to be successful, like living in a state of constant.
I resonate so much with that, or I just think that what you said is so true around we either have truth silently controlling us and telling us that we aren't enough because we aren't getting that promotion, or our friend is talking about us poorly because they hate us, when in reality, there's truths you can't look at about yourself because it's scary, or we don't know that we're even supposed to, or that we even can. Like, we just don't know that. Like, we're not told that. It's not modeled to us, really, to take accountability for our emotions, because no one really knows how to handle their emotions. The majority of people don't know how to handle them, is what it seems like. So we all gaslight each other's feelings because we don't know how to look at our own feelings. Because how can you look at someone else's feelings and help them if you can't look at your own? That's like the definition of like resentment right there. It's like, I'm going to help you, but who's helping me? I can't even help myself. But think about how often and how common it is for someone to undermine or belittle your emotions, or you giving attention to your emotions. I think especially as a girl growing up, like the boys being like, oh, like go cry about it. Like, you know, you're a girl, like, oh, you have so much emotion. Like, you know, if you look at that more closely, there's something to saying, oh, I'm having this emotion. I'm going to look at it more closely and better understand it. Because our emotions control all of us. They control us. So going back to this level of truth is that it's really hard. I had this experience with mushrooms and I saw a truth that was really hard to relive about myself. It's very difficult to relive, to sit through. It was very uncomfortable. Like, it's some of the biggest pain I've ever been in because you're sitting through the truth of this pain that maybe you've experienced in the past, but you didn't have the awareness that you have in this moment, to where your body and your mind are both experiencing it and seeing it for what it is. And that is really hard to do. That's processing, is reliving an experience with the awareness. So that's where mushrooms, like, you're processing it on your own. Or in my experience, I was processing it on my own. And it was really hard. It was almost unbelievable. And then the days go on and you have a different level of understanding of yourself, a different level of compassion for yourself. And it's just validating to see, to have processed a truth about your life. Because once you look at it and once you process it, you no longer have to carry it around like it's a ghost from your past anymore. It doesn't have to be carried around on your shoulders like a weight. And that's the benefit of processing things. And there's alternatives. There's things like therapy. There's these other alternatives. But my experience with this, it was just eye-opening. It was just a reality of to see just how much throughout my life, like, there's been times where I haven't really been okay mentally. And that's really hard to accept because there's a level of cognitive dissonance that you have when you have struggled with your mental health, and that becomes your baseline, becomes the norm. That's what you see around you. That's just your experience. So you just think that's how life is. And to relive a lot of those experiences that you had that were really difficult with the awareness, again, that is what processing is. People do this in therapy too. But to be able to get to do that for yourself, It's like you free yourself from all of this baggage. You're able to separate it from yourself. You're able to just see it as something that was nothing more than an experience that you've learned from. It doesn't have to prevent you from loving the people you want to love, from having fun, from pursuing the career you want to pursue. It doesn't have to take everything away from you. And looking at it and facing it is very scary, but it's the most freeing thing you can do. And that was my experience. And I've never had an experience like this with psychedelics. Because the truth is, like, there's no right way to have an experience on psychedelics. It is always just what you need to see in that moment. And it's like, where are you in life in that moment? What are you ready to see in life in that moment? And I guess I'm just really seeing the value of processing your life before it's freaking over. Like, you have to process periods of your life before it's over. And I guess that's where things like therapy, psychedelic treatments really come into play, is the ability to do that, because you come out a different person when you do that. You separate you from your baggage. And it just feels really good to do that. It's so important, because you can continue leading a life you don't want to lead if you don't. That's why everyone should go to therapy, in my opinion. It's like going to the family physician. It's the same thing, because there's no separation between the weight that you carry emotionally and your physical health. And I don't know what the general sentiment on this is within the world, within the US, but I see it so clearly that our mental health needs to be taken care of. And just to think of also, like, generational trauma and how that lives on through us. Like, we don't know what we don't know. And this is not something that is taught in school, which is crazy. It's like, the more we know, the more awareness we have, the more we can grow and learn. So I understand the rise in these brands that do bring awareness around mental health, but it still doesn't feel like it's right. It still feels like mental health is something that is stigmatized. But what about the dad who's stoic, who is so angry, but no one ever knows because he's just so detached from his feelings, but that's normalized. And I guess our generation is the one that is really here to change it, the stigmas around it. But it's like, I still have stigmas around it. So I think we have to look at the stigmas we hold within ourselves around things like this. And if we hold a stigma, is that just because we aren't giving ourselves compassion for the reality of the things that we've experienced? Like, taking care of ourselves is something that is necessary, and is like, past generations, just it's been a luxury to do that. And our life has felt just different, so that it's something that we prioritize as a generation. I don't know. I think that's a topic to keep talking about. But overall, it's just this need to process, for everyone to have the space to process their life. Because how are you supposed to grow if you can't process your life, if you don't have the space to do that? And you can create that space for yourself too. And I hope that people feel like they can process listening to this podcast, because the reality is, things aren't always accessible. And listening to someone process has got to be helpful, but cultivating that space for yourself is so important. And there's so many facets to it, but gosh, psychedelics are such an amazing way to process. It's not all positive though. You got to feel the good with the bad, and you got to know how to do that. You have to be aware of how to do that. And with the psychedelics, like, you got to be under someone's guidance, in my opinion, I think, of understanding what you're going through, because you might think you're going crazy if you don't have someone to guide you.
It's just really making me think about, like, these experiences that I have sometimes when I go into public, and after cultivating such a deep, deep, deep inner world with myself and processing and healing so much in my own life, and really feeling like the depths of my inner world keep going deeper and deeper and deeper. Like, there's this experience that my mind expands. And it's interesting to think about, what is it, what does it feel like when your mind expands? Like, what is that experience? And I think what it feels like is presence in what is right in front of me versus what are the things that happened in the past 20 years that I'm still holding on to. And that gives you the ability to live a life with love, live a life with connection, choose things intentionally, make active decisions of, okay, I want to follow this to make money financially. I want to create this. I want to start my own business. I want to live here. I want to marry this person. For all the reasons that are no longer driven out of fear. They're driven out of what I said to you last night is kind of like feeling like you have a clean slate now. At whatever age you're at, feeling like you have a clean slate and doesn't matter what happened. You're here now. And when you heal and when you process and when you face, it gives you that ability to feel what it feels like that there's no weight on your shoulders anymore. It really gives you that ability. And I just think about, it's so interesting, like the idea of like the public, right? Like we go out into the world, into the public, and we like see these people going to their jobs. Most of the time it's like, why do we see people out in the public? Like we have our families, we have our significant others or our families, our parents, or we live alone. We have our quote unquote personal life. And then we have the public life where you go out to the grocery store or you go to a park or you go out and interact with other human beings who are also here existing with the same makeup and composition as you, the same, also have a brain, also have a heart, also have legs, also have feet. And we go outside and it feels like no one knows each other. It feels like we all have these really, really, really separate lives. Oh, I come from this family and you come from that family. Which makes me think of like how I'd be curious to look back in more Native American cultures or before we became so caught up in the idea of my family and my last name. And it is so important. And I just think that it's so interesting to think about like the public and this idea of the public, because it's really just a bunch of other people, a bunch of other versions of ourselves who know that they too will die one day, figuring out how to spend their lives. And I just recognize how life can be so hard and confusing because it feels like you're the only one going through these difficult experiences because everything around you is built up of let's have the most fun. Let's look the best. Let's dress the best. How can I show that I'm living a life better than you? How can I prove myself? How can I look happier or making more money than you? We're always trying to like one up or fit into society that we don't realize we're creating because we're perpetuating it. And it's like the public doesn't exist. What is the public? We're all just, we've been around for billions of years on this planet. What is anyone doing here? And I say that because we went to a play last night in Austin. We got tickets to go from a friend. And the play, I couldn't really follow along. But clearly there's a lot of messages of like this really angry guy who clearly was struggling and someone else who was struggling and just how like the way that manifests on the surface and these experiences we have in the outer world, it's very not clear that those people are struggling within. It always becomes a projection of anger or you're just a mean person or you're just really rigid. Like, I just wonder what life would be like if there was more clear examples that it's okay to be scared. It's okay to not know. I also am going through that. Because for me personally, it feels like the only thing that, or one of the biggest things that I find comfort in knowing is that I am alone in my experience, but it's like the Mount Joy song. Maybe we're all alone together. And being able to interact with other people and have that understanding of, oh, you are, you know, in a lot of ways, you are a separate being. you have separate experiences. We're all the same in our physical species, but like, I don't know. I just think that the power of connection is so beautiful and it's so strong, and it feels like it's missing in our public spaces. It really does. Where you go outside and it's like, you have no idea what anyone's going through. You don't even know if someone's parent just died, or they're going through a breakup, or they're facing this existence. Like, the illusion is just so, it's hard to face the illusion after coming back from a psychedelic trip, because it's like, what we've defined as real, it's confusing. Why are we still doing this? Because we have the ability to make changes. We have the ability to make shifts. Even if one day the sun might blow up. Okay, well, while we're here, how can we make an impact? And I think that if we're not healing, if we're not facing things, we're not going to be in that mindset, because we're going to be so scared all the time and thinking that we're separate from everyone over there. Don't look at me. You don't look at what I'm going through. I'm walking in the street. I'm crying. I don't want you to possibly know that I'm human too. It's kind of like what it is. Like, I don't want you to know that I'm human. What are we trying to be? Robots? Because what would happen if we acknowledge? Maybe it would make us face existence more, to know that, oh, you're me. You go through the same fears and concerns and insecurities and doubts, and you're not that much different than me after all. The power in that is profound, of having that knowing. So, yeah.
Well, I think sometimes showing that you're human definitely requires you to feel your own pain. So I think that's why we deny it. That's why we deny crying in public. That's why we deny others their own pain or gaslight them, because we can't look at it in ourselves, because that requires us to feel pain. And what happens when we deny all these things is that we still feel a lukewarm pain. So we're going to feel it either way. We're going to feel like frustrated and upset and angry in disproportionate ways if we aren't actually looking at what we're feeling, what we're actually feeling. And it is something that is crazy to think that we haven't learned how to do on a global basis, on a global front, on the ability for everyone to just come, I don't want to say come together because that sounds too idealistic, but everyone to just come to themselves and accept. And the reality is like, you have to have safety to do that. And I just wonder how many people feel like they don't live in safety, even if they do live in safety, how many feel like they don't. And I think it's interesting to talk on this podcast about these topics, because for me, it's even easy for me to gaslight myself and to think that these topics don't matter, when me even having that thought arise is just a reminder that it's not taking this seriously that's working against me. Like, I see how deeply ingrained it is with the judgments that arise, because I know how important this topic of conversation is. It's directly changed my life. And the reality is that it's something, it's like, how do you communicate it to people? Because you can't. It's something that you have to learn from within yourself. It's something that you have to find the answer from within yourself. There is no answer that anyone has to this life. It's just you that can answer questions that you have. And that is deeply uncomfortable, but also deeply satisfying. Because when we're able to look at the truth, and that's the truth, our world expands. Our inner world expands. The way we see the bird land on the tree changes. The way nature speaks to you changes. And also, when you're in crowds of people, the way you see everyone else's pain changes. How unaware people are of everything that appears, that changes, and that's hard. And there's also empathy, because you've been there too, and you still fall into that too. You know, no one's ever quote unquote saved, or no one's ever fixed or enlightened fully. It's like, it's just having more awareness more often. And to have that awareness, you have to keep facing the truth over and over and over and over again. You have to keep processing over and over and over and over again. And it's like a new way of living life. It's taking accountability for all the feelings and all the pain that you've had in your life. And like, that doesn't sound very appealing, you know, like that's not going to be a good title for a self-help book, like keep feeling the pain and feel better. Like it's, I guess the closest thing that like I've seen put into a book is like within Buddhism are these lessons. But even like you can't fully look to that. That was just one person or many people. I don't know much about the history of it being written, but that was just people trying to have a guiding light. But ultimately, and that's very helpful, but ultimately, like it comes back to you, what works for you and what doesn't. And that doesn't mean that you can't look to others as a resource, but it's like you can't look to anyone as a resource too much because no one knows anything. And like that's something that you just always have to remember. Like no one knows more than you. And if someone thinks they do or acts like they do, they definitely don't. Sure, someone might know about the Roman Empire falling more than you, but that doesn't inherently state your value less than them. Like maybe someone makes you want to leave because of that, because they're so insecure. So when you zoom out to look at existence, it's like, well, no one can actually know more than you. They can have more theories or they can have theories that they believe in, but ultimately it's just the acceptance that no one knows is where I find the most peace. Because if I can recognize that, I can recognize that my value is innate and I don't need to find anything. I don't need to achieve anything. I don't need to look a certain way. I don't need to feel a certain way to have my value. Like my value is innate. And like that's something that was just, I feel like it is not a common known fact growing up for me. Because you just pick up on things in your environment all around you. Like you're still marketed to as a kid. So like your value is innately not as good unless you have this, this, and this, and this. And how do you get this, this, and this? You're good at your job. You're a high-performing student. You're all of these high-performing things. And it's like the cycle just begins so early. And when you can recognize that, actually, no one knows better than me because I know better than no one either, it's like, well, I have to stop. I don't have to keep proving myself to anyone. So, okay, if that's the case, then the door is open for me to heal and live my life for me because this is my life. And that means that I get to actually be here and enjoy it and I don't need to be proving myself to feel loved. So this has been a good combo. You know, I never know where it's going to take us. And I just know that life can feel really dark and scary sometimes. But another learning that I had from the mushrooms is that you just have to sit through things because what you're feeling, your thoughts might tell you that it's going to last forever, but nothing lasts forever unless you attach to it and choose for that to be the case. If you just let things happen and you experience them, know that things will never stay the same. Everything is passing. And that's really difficult to accept. It's really hard to accept, but it's almost as soon as you can accept that, you're on the other side of moving to the next emotion, the next feeling. And everything is always circulating and changing. And that's both scary and freeing at the same time. So I'm grateful for everyone listening today. This has been a really, really good combo. You probably felt me let go the last 20 minutes because that's how I feel. So that's sometimes what it takes in a conversation, especially not having these conversations for a few weeks. Like it takes time and that's where you have to be gentle with yourself. You can't expect things to just come perfectly right away. It's like the gift is in the keeping going. It's in not losing faith in yourself at face value because it doesn't sound like how you think it should sound. These are all just thoughts of the mind. And we are just human. We're meant to have this experience and feel everything and smell everything and taste everything and just love. And that's not easy. Loving isn't easy at all. It can be really hard to love and to let people love you, and you have to love yourself. And I guess what I'm saying is there's so much excitement and fulfillment that comes from your inner world that has nothing to do with your job, your status within society, your appearance. When you start going inward, your world expands and life becomes that much more meaningful.
Why is it always at the end of the conversations I just feel like I want to talk more? I guess that's because, yeah, like it takes time to get into conversing. And I do feel though, like throughout this whole conversation, I was pretty damn relaxed. Notice some judgments coming up, but I just like, it's so clear to me right now that any thought's just a thought. Any thought is just a thought. And we got that tattooed. Don't quote me on that. Mom, if you're listening, I don't know if that's true. But there is no truth, but expressing ourselves can help us come back to a sense of ease, a sense of relief, and a sense of relaxation that there's nothing we need to do. There's nothing we need to change. There's nowhere we need to get. We can just arrive here. We could just come back to here. And that's a beautiful gift, I think, to be able to experience the moment for what it is without needing to get anything out of it is perhaps the most beautiful experience of life. And we'll never get anything more rich than this moment. Even if that's you in the fetal position crying, it's all part of it. And it's all the richness of being alive. So when we compare life to death, whatever's within life, I'm going to take it. Because at least I'm alive. And at least I'm choosing to live. So thank you, Daisy, for having this conversation with me. And thanks to the listeners for listening. We will be back when we're back on Thursday. We'll be back on Thursday. Thank you all. And I hope you have a beautiful rest of your day. If you're sleeping, good night. If it's the morning, enjoy. Talk to you soon. Thank you.